Twin Cities Orthopedics is proud to be the official sports medicine provider for Tommy Athletics. TCO is trusted by some of the biggest names in sports, and they bring that same level of care to our athletes. Thank you, TCO, for being a part of our team. Visit TCOMN.com to learn more. Hello and welcome to Tommy Talks, the weekly podcast bringing you inside St. Thomas Athletics, where we'll get to know those who wear the purple and gray. I'm Corbu Status, and this week our guest is Annabelle Wiskus, a senior on the dance team. We talk about winning a national championship, being present to the moment, and teaching dance. We also talk about growing in her faith, her journey into personal growth, and much more. Now, here's our conversation with Annabelle Wiskus on another edition of Tommy Talks. Annabelle, welcome into the podcast. Really happy to have you here. I'm glad that you're our inaugural guest from the dance team. That's exciting. The dance team's had a ton of success, and I know that you're excited to be a part of it, but why St. Thomas? Why did you choose to come to the University of St. Thomas?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my family is 30 minutes west of the city, so I knew right off the bat that I wanted to stay in Minnesota. My brother went to the University of Minnesota. My half-sister also went to Minnesota Duluth and then Minnesota as well. So I just knew I wanted to stay in the realm. And I kind of made a choice with myself senior year of just kind of jumping right on it and trying out for the dance team. And I tried out, and it was one of those things where it was, if I made the team, that's a sign from God to go to St. Thomas. And if I didn't, then I was just going to probably pursue the University of Minnesota or Duluth. But making the team was my green light. It was something that I was like, this is a sign. It's such a competitive team. So I was like, I'm going to go for it. And it was the year of COVID. So it was one of those things where I was like, you know, we'll just kind of see what's in the cards. But St. Thomas, I loved the campus, but it was definitely just making the team was the sign.
Yeah, and you were an accomplished dancer in high school too, right? A state champion in high school?
Just a state.
Participant.
Yeah, I was a state participant for all my time on the dance team in high school. So that was really fun. But we never made it at that time. Now they're state champions. But I think it was last year they were state champions. But previous years, it was just participants and making it to finals, which is really fun.
So would that have been the end of your dance career if you wouldn't have made the St. Thomas team? Or would you have tried out at Minnesota or Duluth?
In high school, I remember after state, I was really, really hesitant of what I wanted to do, which is why the sign was such a big deal to me. Just because I was like, you know, I kind of want to experience college. I'm not sure what I want to do. And it was one of those things where University of Minnesota dance team is an amazing, amazing program that I just, at that point in time, I didn't have the confidence to try out. They're unreal. They're on a next level. So it was one of those things where I was like, if I don't make St. Thomas, I feel like that's a sign. But yeah, that probably would have been the end of my dance career unless I went into teaching at that point in time. But right after high school, I feel like I would have just cut it.
Yeah. And that's got to be a big decision because when did you start dancing?
Right around like when I was 3.
Right. So that's been your whole life.
Mm-hmm, my whole entire life.
Yeah.
It's filled every day, every weekend, every summer, every spring, every fall, everything. Yep.
And you would have missed all of the screeching and the high-pitched yays that go on every single weekend.
Of course.
Especially when it's the younger ages.
Oh, of course. I would have missed the early mornings, the bus rides, everything. It would have been a different experience for sure. And I wasn't ready to let that go.
And it's not like coming to St. Thomas. I mean, the University of Minnesota's got a great dance team, but you guys are national champions, too.
We are. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Take us through what that was like winning that national championship.
Wow. Unreal. It was unlike any experience I've ever had in my entire life. You know, one of my favorite things about dance is having 2 minutes on that stage where you are just so present. And that's something that our coach, Julia Harris, really, really emphasizes of just being in that moment. And then once that moment's done, hearing everything, I've always loved this, hearing everything and just feeling and knowing that you gave it your all. We just knew at that moment that that moment was unlike any other thing else. Like, I swear, I remember just looking around and we all were crying because we just knew like what we had done was extraordinary. And then feeling that also, hearing who was called for second and knowing that we did it and that it was, I can't even explain it. It was unreal. I get goosebumps thinking about it. It's just such a great experience. Yeah.
Did you have a feeling going up to that moment?
You know, I feel like with dance, we always try to bring that feeling as soon into the season as possible. We have like super intense national practices during January. So we're always trying to be like getting that mindset. But I feel like it doesn't actually come until we have the weekend before we leave, which is our best of best performance, our Edina invite, and then our send off. And that's where we like actually get those dances out on a stage in front of an audience and where you can feel that passion, that pride from the team. And I feel like after every single performance, we just felt more ready. And then that last practice in Florida at a studio, we were like, oh yeah, we're ready. Like this is, there's nothing else that we can do. There's nothing else we need to do. It was just, we're ready.
So being present on the stage, does that include a certain amount of letting go and just knowing that you have it down? Or is it you're so immersed in the steps that you don't even hear anything else?
I feel like that's a really great question, actually. I feel like it's a lot of not going on autopilot. It's a lot of trusting yourself, but we always say, like, don't let the intensity of the lights, of the fans, of your nerves, of your adrenaline, like, overpower you and just go on autopilot, because the minute that happens, the minute you start to overthink what you're actually doing and you're not like, you're kind of like, wait, what am I doing? So right. It's a lot of trusting yourself, but actually using your eyes and your brain to being like, who's around me? Like, what am I doing? And like, making sure that you are thinking about everything that you need to think about versus just doing it.
Right.
But at that point in the season, you know, you've done the dances 800 times over and over again in all sorts of conditions. And so you just know you're ready. You know you have it, but it's a lot of like mental strength of just being like, just do it. Do it and be in that moment and do it the way you know how to do it.
Finding the balance of being aware of everything that's going on, but not letting the moment be too big.
Yes, exactly.
Is there ever a point where you're like, oh my God, we have to do this? Like, you've done the dance so many times. You're like, oh my God, I cannot one more time.
We have so many jokes too at the end of the season. We're so sick and tired of all the songs. That's why it's like, you know, having those amazing songs that you know are going to impact the audience, but you cannot listen to the same after Turning Tables. Like, love that song to death, but oh my gosh, I can't listen to it the same anymore. Especially because you have moves like within it. So you're like, oh my gosh. But, you know, yes, I feel like to an extent, there's when you first learn the choreography and you first learn the moves, you're so excited. You're like doing them the biggest and the best that you can do them.
Yeah.
But throughout the season, we nitpick and we clean. Like, we take one person, we look at everything that they're doing. Like, while we're cleaning the sections, it could be different people at different times, but you take someone and you're like, that angle, that level, that whatever. So instead of just doing it the way that anyone can do it, you're doing it identically. So the moves definitely get very, 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 very annoying, but they're the same moves that you felt passionate about from the beginnings, and you know that they look good. So it's just, you know, it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess you could say like running a mile, like, you know, it's not going to feel the best, but you know that like what you're doing is right. And
right.
In a way, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating because it's mechanical in some ways, mm-hmm. right? And it's exacting. Mm-hmm. But you still, if you're not doing it with passion,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to come across as mechanical. Mm-hmm. So how do you blend those two things together?
You know, that's also the hard part about during the season compared to high school, which mm-hmm. was something that you kind of have to adjust to. In high school, you have competitions every weekend. So you get that stage presence and you know how you dance, because when you're in front of an audience, you're going to perform differently.
Correct.
Like you're going to want to perform bigger. But when you nitpick and the goal is to look like everyone else and to look identical and like unison, you can't just let that overtake it. You have to stick to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things where it's like when we practice, we try and practice like we're going to be out on the stage. So it's like, yes, hitting those levels, but we do it over and over again, bringing and trying to bring through that emotion of like, okay, it's not necessarily sticking it robotically, but more movement through movement. So it's like, you know that when that emotion comes through, it's not surprise. It's like, it's still kind of choreographed in there,
right?
If that makes sense. So it makes it a little bit easier, but it definitely, with adrenaline, trust, like I will be out there and we'll be like, oh my gosh, like where, what are we doing?
Right.
But yeah, it's a process for sure. It's a process.
You teach dance as well.
I do.
How long have you been teaching?
At The Vibe, 2 years.
Okay.
Yes, I believe. This is my second, almost, I think it's upcoming third year, if I'm correct. But, yeah.
What are the challenges for you as a teacher versus as a dancer?
You know, I feel like I take a lot of pride in being personable and motivating. That's one of my biggest strengths, I feel like, as a person. I try and motivate people in the best that I can and relate because everyone's motivated differently. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where it's like when I have an off day, how can I motivate someone to just love what they're doing? And also I try and remind the upcoming generation of dancers to not compare themselves to other people. I feel like that's something in dance that is so hard to fight against. We're constantly looking at our bodies. We're constantly looking at other people, what they can do, what we can't do. And yes, we want to be the best dancer that we can be, but you also have to move to your strengths. Like, there are people on the team that I look up to and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would kill to be able to do that.
Right.
But it's one of those things where I'm like, I have strengths in another realm as well. So they could be looking at me or vice versa, whatever. I could be looking at someone else or someone could be looking at me or whatever. But of, wow, I wish I could do that in a way. So I feel like when I teach, it's just the having those off days of just low energy and trying to find what I can do, because each class I want to make sure that someone takes something away from it, mm-hmm. and that they feel that they are meant to be there and that they are doing the best that they can do. So I feel like that's one of my biggest strengths, is just trying to maintain that every single time, because it can be exhausting, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's when you get that amazing, amazing, amazing result, though, of someone being like, I felt it, and you changed my perspective on that. That is something that I like hold near and dear to my heart.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a fun feeling. What ages do you teach?
You know, it ranges. I feel like it's mainly, I feel like classes are like 8 to like 18.
Mm-hmm.
There's like some adult classes, but I feel like it's roughly the early middle school that I mainly see, early middle school to senior year in college.
Okay.
Senior in high school.
Yeah.
Senior in high school, maybe even pursuing college. But it varies. I teach private lessons, some combo classes, and some technique classes. So it's like all across the board.
Yeah. So teaching a 12-year-old, I mean, yes. They're probably pretty accomplished at that point, but mm-hmm. the difference between a 12-year-old who's like, honestly, like, can I get back to whatever YouTube videos I wanted to check out?
Well, and it's
versus a junior in high school.
Yes. And it's interesting too, because these 12-year-olds, they will it's crazy. Honestly, they will go from studio class to have a 45-minute break to when they'll race over to have a private lesson with me, then go back to their studio classes all day. I'm like, the one break you had, you're still dancing. And that's just, they're used to it.
Right.
They're either like, they either don't want to be there, which that just comes with the territory. You either love dance or, you know, you hate it. But,
yeah.
Or they're like going, going, going. I've talked to so many people and I'm like, where's your break? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's crazy. But then I remember like what I was doing when I was younger, and I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. It's just it's a life. It's a job at the end of the day. If you want to be the best, like they put in the time. It rarely comes naturally.
Yeah. You got to want to do it for sure.
Uh-huh.
But there have to be moments where you're like, I want to do it, but is today the day that I want to do it?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Life
happens too.
People
like, break up with their boyfriends, or you know, school happens or family and stuff, and I can feel different vibes. I get a lot of regulars that come in, and mm-hmm. some days will be a little harder, but that's what also I love about my job, is it's so nice to be personable and just be like, you can talk to me, like I'm someone that you can talk to, like if you need a hug, I'll give you a hug and we'll have a good lesson, we'll do what you want to do. It's just life.
So dance is important in your life, faith, family also important mm-hmm. in your life. It seems like St. Thomas would be the perfect place for that, with faith and family, especially with the smaller campus size and it being a private Catholic institution.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how that has spoken to you.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question again. I feel as though starting with faith, I've always been in a faith kind of family. It's always been a priority of ours.
Mm-hmm.
However, my personal journey with faith, I feel like, has really, really flourished the past couple of years, especially as it's my senior year. I feel like I have put in effort to strive to be the kind of faith-driven person that I want to be. Mm. And my goal is to be able to have someone look at me and feel as though they see Jesus within me. So that is something that, like, I have personally pushed. And that's basically because of my family. I feel like my dad and my mom are amazing, amazing, amazing people who put faith first. Mm-hmm. And so that has just been something that has been, you know, I've always looked up to. But coming to St. Thomas, you know, I feel like there's just a wide variety of people. People who have that faith, but they still haven't reached their personal journey yet, versus people who are fully immersed in it. And I feel as though St. Thomas offers, like, there's so many communities that offer so much community in a church. I know I've gone to SALT a few times. I've talked to people on the dance team. I've talked to people outside the dance team. There's so many ways to get involved. And I love how everyone is at their own pace. So I feel like I can continue my personal journey without, you know, feeling like someone's all the way above me, if that makes any sense. Because that's a really difficult thing to do and to feel. But it definitely is something that, like, I wish I took more advantage of freshman year, and I wish I found it faster. But, you know, it's your own pace. And now there's just so many opportunities. And I feel like there's so many people that you can turn to if you are in that realm of wanting to find your faith.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you could argue, too, that you've came to it when you needed to come to it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you would have found it earlier as a freshman, you might not have been ready.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's always something that I've had, but yeah. I never, like, pursued it. And I feel like, too, regardless of where you are in your faith, if you don't have faith, I respect you. You know, I hopefully at some point, I'm the type that will pray that hopefully someone finds their faith. But it's one of those things where it's, you know, I've learned so much even from when I was falling out of faith with, you know, people and habits and all that stuff. I feel like I could go into a whole spiel about that. But it's one of those things where, like, even those experiences freshman and sophomore year of mistakes or just things that have happened in my life, I feel like I've learned so much from that pushed me towards my faith. So everything that happened and anyone who was or is in my life is something that I'm like, you were in my life for a reason. You are in my life for a reason. And, like, you've made me the person I am right now. And that's what I love about St. Thomas, is because it's such a small campus that you still see these people. And, like, it's not like I'm going to, like, not have a class with someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's so personable and so homey. And that's one of the, like, the best things about it, I would say, because of that connection, that constant connection all 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So did you do any other sports growing up?
You know, that's funny that you asked that. I didn't until senior year. I did tennis.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where it was like me and my two friends, my best friends from home, like my home, we were like, let's try something. And we were all C squad. It was just something taking away the pressure. But, you know, I didn't really try any other sports growing up. I feel like I knew what I wanted to do from a very early age.
Yeah.
I knew I loved to be a girly girl and be on that stage and perform. And I was with all my best friends. So it's not like I was missing out on anything. But looking back, I wish I wanted to just try other things, but, you know, my schedule was already packed and packed and packed, so I wasn't regretful at the time. So
yeah, your older brother Shane, mm-hmm. A gymnast, mm-hmm. and so there's some similarities between gymnastics and dance. Is that something that your family is, like, gymnastics and dance is just part of your family, or how did you both kind of end up in that realm?
Well, you know, my brother, love my brother. When he was growing up, my parents always told me that he just could not sit still. Like, he was the type that would just be crazy. And the only way that they could get him to calm down or to, like, focus was through gymnastics. So gymnastics and dance, I don't feel were anything like that everyone in my family, like, was always a part of. It was definitely random, but it was something that, you know, I remember being young and trying gymnastics with my brother. He's 4 years older than me. So when I was like three to seven, I remember trying gymnastics, and he was just good right from the start because he had no fear. But I was complete opposite. I was like, was like, oh, I cannot do a flip. I will never. That's just not me. Like, okay. And so I can't remember what pushed my mom to put me in dance, but I remember it was like a small studio right by my house. Katie Lane School of Dance. It's no longer open, but so much love for it. And did it, and all my friends were part of it. So we just kind of stuck with it. But definitely no crazy, like, long history of dancers or gymnasts. But it was just, like, we knew. Like, my parents put us in, and we just knew. Yeah.
Can you do a flip now?
Oh, no. No. I mean, I can do an aerial, but, you know, that's just like a dance skill, I feel. I mean, some female gymnasts do it on, like, beam and everything, but if you ask me to do a front flip or a back flip, I will immediately decline.
So those of us who may not be aware, what's an aerial?
An aerial is like a side cartwheel with no hands.
With no hands.
Uh-huh.
That's still pretty impressive.
It's really, yeah. It's one of those things where it's like a lot of collegiate teams require it because it's such an impressive and flattering skill on the whole team.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, a lot of children, a lot of teens learn it at a very young age just because it is such a common,
right.
common skill.
So when did you learn to do it and how scary was it for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, in high school, it's illegal to do an aerial out competing.
Okay.
Because there's certain guidelines that you have to follow, if I'm saying it correctly. It's things such as you have to have a hand or something on the ground. You can't just fall to the ground like by jumping. You have to like have something touching the ground at all times. So an aerial, like a no-handed cartwheel, would be illegal. Because, you know, you obviously aren't touching the ground for a portion of the time.
Right.
But in so growing up, I was like, oh, I don't need it.
I'll be fine.
I don't need it. Then I tried it for St. Thomas. I was like, I might need it. I definitely might need it. So literally, it was, I think, so during my season, we ended in February of high school. High school, we ended in February. And then I believe tryouts were like April for St. Thomas. So immediately after, I was like, I need to get an aerial. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying. It was one of those things where it was like so much of your brain was just like, don't do it. Don't do it. But like you knew you had to. But so it was just like a fight of your body and your brain of just like, I need to do it. Especially like learning it at 17, 18. I'm like,
right.
Do I trust myself? Like, what's going to happen? Yeah. But.
And you did it.
I did it. I finally learned it. And then I really got comfortable with it. I believe it was like sophomore year of college because during my freshman year, I was only in hip hop.
Okay.
Normally, we'll have like, if you're a rookie, you'll be in like one dance and you'll be an alternate for another. So it was like perfect hip hop. I'm like, good. Okay. Solid.
Yep, got it.
But I was like, okay, I had a year to get it. And then I finally got it, I believe, sophomore year. And I just stuck with me. So it's one of those skills now that I feel like I'll always have.
Yeah.
Now that I just don't even need to think about it.
That's right. Just in case you ever need it.
Yeah.
So it's hip hop and jazz. Are those the two divisions for you guys?
Yes. For St. Thomas, other schools will do jazz and palm. But we are hip hop and jazz.
Okay.
Yep.
And a nice finish this past year, right? Fourth in jazz and fifth in hip hop.
Yes.
And we're not talking about like just in the Summit League. We're talking nationwide.
Yeah.
Right. And is that all colleges or all Division I colleges?
So it's Division I and Division I A. So we are, I always mess this up. I believe we are Division I, because I believe Division I A is the U of M, Ohio, Michigan, all those Big Ten schools.
Okay.
So we are fourth and fifth in Division I. And I might have to. I believe that's correct.
Right.
I believe, if I remember correctly.
I believe you too.
I'm like, it gets confusing because I'm like Division I, Division I A.
Right.
Or it might be vice versa. But yeah, so we are fourth and fifth in our Division I category, which consists of Delaware, GCU, California Fullerton, schools like that.
Yeah.
So
it's like 100 schools.
Yeah. Good
amount.
Something
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really impressive.
Yes, it's really great. Let's
talk about your major, journalism and communications. What do you want to do with that?
You know, I love the media. I love photography. I love videography. I love writing. But mainly, I love talking to people. I need to be around people. I could not see myself sitting at home and not seeing people daily. I feel like I thrive off of it. So I want to be in that atmosphere of always doing something with people and capturing moments and meeting people and hearing stories. I am right off the bat, when I went to college, I wanted to go into sports reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my drive. However, I found myself being a little bit more in love with just entertainment all sorts of it, pop culture.
Yeah.
Taking some communication classes, there was like communication and pop culture. Oh my gosh. So many amazing topics.
Yeah. And love.
I love, yes. Yeah. And it's like those hard topics of like, how do you talk about this, especially in today's society? And it just, you learn about how to communicate properly, how to not judge, how to hear and accept other people's opinions that also form your opinion. You know, I mean, Right. Everyone doesn't have to be so black and white. It can be, everything can be gray, you know, just like your experiences in life. So it was such a eye-opening experience, and it really just stuck with me. And I want to be able to talk and hear people's stories and be in that atmosphere of life.
Yeah. So are you talking like the news side of things, or like a interview show, like something like a 60 Minutes, something like that?
You know, I would be open to either. I mm-hmm. feel like media, you have so many different outlets that as long as you kind of find what makes you tick in each outlet through experiences and through jobs, you'll find like your design path. But I would love to just kind of go into each and every one of them, even, you know, podcasting's great. Like these interviews are just so great. And so that would be something that would also be on my interest. But yeah.
It's fun to get to know people for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially through the Tommy Talks podcast. I've been loved getting to know all of the student athletes. Mm-hmm. Do you have a dream job then? Or is it still kind of to be determined? You want to try a bunch of things?
It's a little to be determined. I feel as though like coming in, being that sports reporter was my dream job. It was just something that I was like, especially growing up with Shane. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was always someone that was like explaining gymnastics, talking to them, and you know, even just 4 years younger as his little sister in high school, you know, I was someone that like I was invested, you know, my brother. So I like fell into that, and then I just realized that there's so many outlets, like why stop myself with one? Yeah. And that's kind of where I was at. And so now I'm just kind of like, let's have a little bit more of an open mind with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's going to take you far, especially in the media and journalism world, because it's a tough, tough industry.
Definitely.
Do you have a favorite professor?
Favorite professor? Wow. I have two.
Okay.
I have two. Is that okay to say, too?
Absolutely.
Dr. Bernard Armada. He is my communication capstone and my persuasion and social influence teacher. He also was my pop culture professor.
Okay.
And he was the one freshman year I took his improv class, which sounds like a funny class, but let me tell you, being in COVID and so by yourself, it was a class that broke me out of my shell. And
that's
I have
awesome.
Never gone back into it. And now I take pride in being the one that is not afraid to talk, the one that is not afraid to be wrong. And it's something that I will take that with me forever. And then my other professor was Dr. Anna Kudak. I took her interpersonal communication class last semester, spring semester of my junior year. And she is a professor that just changed my life. I don't know what it was, but she just genuinely changed my life. We've gotten lunch, we've gotten coffee. Like, she's just someone that will text and check up on me. And she is someone that I feel like saw my true character and I was so comfortable with right off the bat. And it was just something that like clicked. And I feel like when you have a professor like that, it just changes you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That kind of connection is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't replace it. Do you have a best place on campus?
Best place on campus? You know, I love the library. When I study, I love the library when it's cold. Specifically that second floor, that like that nice cool wood room. It's like, I think it was like the Harry Potter thing.
That's what I've heard people call it. Yeah. I've never been into the library over there, but I need to.
You know, when I go there, I just happen to get stuff done. However, during the sun and during like the warm spring seasons, I love the courtyard. I love the courtyard. I will literally gladly every day take a blanket, sit out there, do my homework. It's just so nice. We just have such a beautiful campus. I just love to be immersed in it.
Yeah.
Immersed in it, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Especially when you're outside. You can be outside and just be in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. That, for me, has been the greatest part about COVID and the change from being in an office to being able to work at home.
Totally.
And now it's like, I'm going to be outside as much as I can.
you're going to take it. Yep.
Absolutely. Favorite food?
Favorite food. Wow. I love a good street taco. Mm-hmm. I love a good street taco. So good. Chips and guacamole. Can't go wrong. Or an amazing steak. I love a good steak and potatoes dinner. I'm like either or. Like, I have multiple. But I feel like can't go wrong with a street taco. And then can't go wrong with a steak, like a good steak. So, yeah.
How simple is the street taco? Are we talking just cilantro, onion, and meat?
I mean, I'll do a mixture of both because street tacos, you can do many. Like, right. I'll have one that's a little bit more simple, put a little lime on it, super good. Another one with, like some jalapenos, some spicy sauce, different meat all around, too, like steak, chicken, all that stuff.
That's the best
part. Yep, exactly. You get to try everything.
That's right.
And then another one that just has a bunch of corn and everything on it. I just love a variety.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you like your steak cooked?
Medium rare.
There you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. You passed the test.
Thank
That's
you.
Good.
Amazing. Amazing.
Favorite book or author?
Favorite book or author? That's a great question. This book actually hasn't come out yet, but I will just kind of answer this in kind of two ways. I'm a podcast listener.
Okay.
And there's an amazing podcast by Janine Amapola Ward. She's kind of more in the influencer route, but she has a podcast called Happy and Healthy, and I swear I listen to it every day. It became my new addiction, but she has a book coming out, and I am so excited to read it. Mm-hmm. But any self-help book, any book that allows me to rethink what I'm doing or even just feel as though I'm not alone, I love it.
Sure.
I just love it. But, in high school, there's always those literature books that you're like, eh.
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of steered away from those and was more into like, what do I want to read? But,
sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So on your Instagram, you have a picture of a saying. And I want to make sure I get the saying right because it struck me too. You don't have to react to everything that you see.
Yes.
Is that, am I saying it right?
Yes. Yeah. Very similar. Yeah.
That strikes me in a lot of different ways, but why did that strike you?
You know, that's a really great question. I feel as though personally too, in my growth, in my own journey, I know myself as an emotional person, that when someone says something to me or when something happens to me, the first thing I do is react. Mm-hmm. The first thing I do is react in emotions that are probably most likely negative. When we react really fast, most of the time it's negative. And I feel as though when you take a step back and you think about what it is you're feeling, why you're feeling it, breathe a little bit. You don't find a reason to react to it as fast. You don't find a reason to feel the emotions that you're feeling. Yes, they're valid. Yes, they're like your initial reactions, but we're human. Like, we're always going to put what we want first, or why did this happen to me, or what's going on. And to me, when I take a step back, I think about my faith and I'm like, well, why is this happening to me? Why was this said to me? What can I do to revert it? What would Jesus do? And as someone too, I feel like a lot of my mistakes or a lot of things that have happened to me that I've always been just kind of like, why did I do that? You know, has been because of those moments where I've just reacted. Mm-hmm. I just didn't care. I wanted what I wanted, and I reacted and I made decisions that just probably weren't for me. And now I feel like I put myself in situations where I can breathe and I can think about it. And again, I feel like that comes with a good and a bad. Like,
sure.
When you overthink, versus just live in the moment and just like let it happen. But there is a fine line between just like reacting, and especially with social media and with the way our culture and this generation is we react so fast. We don't take a second, and it's just take a second. Like, let it sink in first.
So where did, that's a large amount of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you had that a little bit with your faith as well. What was the aha moment for you where you were like, oh, this is time where I need to start digging into me and start digging into how I'm reacting to things and how I can grow better as a human being?
It definitely was during, again, my personal journey of realizing that some of the things that I do or some of the things that I say, just being a kid, just being younger, just kind of meeting people and meeting so many people, of what my actions do to affect others.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's such a hard thing to think about and such a hard pill to swallow. It's something like, wow, what I say actually affects people. And it's one of those things where it's like, it sucks when you think about what people could take from what you say, even in different contexts. It's like when I text, when I call, when I do this, when I don't respond, when I do that, like it's like how that affects someone. And Yes, you want to think about your needs, but it's one of those things where I feel like when I really saw what I say or what I do and how it affects people, especially the people that I really do care about, it was just an eye-opening. Like, I need to take a second. Yeah. And I need to allow myself to put myself in a better position mentally, because I am emotional and I am someone that reacts very fast, and that's okay. I love being an emotional person. It's better. I can't imagine myself as someone that was so afraid to show emotion, which I've been in positions where that's hard, but it's one of those things where it's like, take a second, you know, yeah. even like in a competitive atmosphere, you know, what you're saying about other teams, what you're saying about people, how, if they heard, like, you know, you want, how do you want people to look at yourself and look at who you're representing? And I think too, like, that's something that our coaches, Julia Harris and Megan Cavaney, really, really emphasize, is just like what our image is, and that there is such a positive image of us, and like making sure that what we do and what we say and who we are is genuine, and it doesn't have to be angry. Like, it doesn't have to be negative. Like,
right.
What we say doesn't have to be negative. You can always switch it up. So I feel like that's kind of where that came from.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, when you are done here, which is soon.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. Hard to believe. What do you want your legacy at St. Thomas to be?
That's a really great question. I've thought about this for a while, actually. I want it to be motivating, and I want it to be welcoming. Mm-hmm. Someone who never made, I guess I don't want to say never, but someone who had open arms. I feel as though I relate, and it's easy to like fall into the routine of complaining and someone who just kind of thinks about, you know, yourself. And that's human. But I feel as though, especially this past year, I really pushed myself to challenge not only myself, but even my teammates or the people around me. In some days you fall, but to be as positive and be as motivating as possible, to be that ball of energy, to be that voice, to be that loud energy, to be someone that people can turn to, that they can smile with, that they can laugh with, and that just opens them with welcoming arms, like someone that you just know no matter what, they'll be there,
right.
And they'll have your back, and they got you, even regardless of how close you are, like, they got you. And I feel like in a world where we think so much about ourselves, like, it feels very daunting. So to know that you have that one person, and that they're motivating, that they're positive, and that they're there for you, I feel like that is something that I really want people to just remember me by, that image of all love. Similar to Jesus in a way, that like they see that in me and that they are welcomed in all areas of life. So,
yeah, that's really great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your time, Annabelle. It was so great meeting you, and best of luck going forward.
I appreciate it. This was amazing.